The National Party leader says former minister Stuart Nash should be gone from Parliament altogether. Stuart Nash was last night sacked from all of his ministerial roles following revelations he breached the cabinet manual when he emailed businessmen about a commercial relief package a cabinet had discussed in March 2020. The correspondence set out his opposition to cabinet's decision and details of the discussions. The men were financial donors to Mr. Nash's election campaign. Now, the leader of the opposition, Christopher Luxon, told Morning Report he'd never seen a breach at this level and the government needs to have better standards.
Stuart Nash has actually leaked confidential cabinet information and also conversations and positions of his peers around that table to his donors. And, you know, that's akin to a type of insider trading, I guess. Essentially, he's acting as a lobbyist, for want of a better word, inside his cabinet. And so the issues are very serious. It's fourth contravention of the cabinet manual that we're aware of, and he needs to be gone from, if Chris Hipkins has no trust around him in the cabinet, how can he be in his caucus, and therefore how can he be in Parliament?
Colleagues of the former minister are currently arriving at Parliament. Some have spoken to our reporters, a warning, it is very windy in the capital this morning.
As I know of my colleague Stuart Nash, he takes his job really seriously, and all of those communications that he's had with his constituents and with business owners that he knows have been on issues that I think ordinary New Zealanders would have thought were reasonable. The issue there is that Stuart didn't appreciate the rules for cabinet ministers. I think he'll be reflecting on that really gravely last night and today.
Oh, look, decisions have been made. Clearly he's done some stuff that breached the trust of cabinet. What he's done is breached the trust of cabinet.
Are you concerned that any of your kind of discussions in cabinet that you may have been part of may have been leaked by Stuart Nash?
Look, I've got no reason to think that that is the case, despite the fact that that's happened in this instance.
Morning. Can you still trust Stuart Nash?
I'm not going to comment on that today, thanks.
Yes, certainly a cold southerly in Wellington today. And Stuart Nash, of course, is the one out in the cold. Wellington barrister Graham Edgler is with us now for more on this. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning.
Do you agree with Christopher Luxon that this is absolutely clear-cut and sort of the worst example he has seen of this sort of thing?
I don't even think it's the worst example of the things that Stuart Nash is being found to have done. So, yes, it's bad, but it's sort of politically bad, you know, rather than sort of constitutionally bad in the way I think that the discussion with the police commissioner was. You know, that sort of, you know, the independence of the police and prosecution function, I would have said, was more serious, although I could see why this is politically more serious given the way that cabinet is supposed to operate and the constitutional role that cabinet has and the fact that cabinet is, and ministers in cabinet and indeed ministers outside cabinet are supposed to speak with one voice. You know, once cabinet makes a decision, everyone agrees with it and no one says, you know, how the vote went or who said what because of the way government is supposed to operate. So I can see why this is damaging to the government, and I can see why it would affect the trust and confidence that the Prime Minister or other ministers would have in it. But you know, it's a different type of thing than say the discussion with the police commissioner, which from sort of a constitutional perspective is still the one I have the most concern with. But again, any of the three or four or five things now that we have are enough or would have been enough for a prime minister to have removed him from cabinet. And so I guess it's, you add them all together and you get to this position.
Well, I mean, the prime minister and others have suggested that this alone would be enough to be, or should be enough to see Stuart Nash removed from the cabinet. Do you agree?
Yes, but I would have said that about, you know, but at least two of the other things that have happened.
Okay. Christopher Luxon has also likened this to insider trading that we might sort of see in the financial world. What did you make of that analogy?
I'm not sure it really fits. You know, it's giving people information about a decision which they've already been told happened, just saying, well, I disagreed with it and I spoke in your favour. You know, well, everyone knew at that point that or at least was about to know that the rent relief package that they had been hoping for wasn't going to happen. You know, the government was going to announce that. It's not something someone can trade on. I guess if you got sort of information about it months in advance or something like that, you could change, well, we don't want to own this property anymore or something like that. But I suspect in the middle of COVID, not many property sales were happening. So, it is sort of that sort of thing. This type of thing could certainly have those sorts of effects. And again, that's another of the important reasons why this sort of thing oughtn't get leaked in advance and things like that, particularly where it involves money and particularly donors or things like that. And, all very good reasons why this is a bad thing to have done and a thing that ministers should not do. But it doesn't seem to quite fit that analogy, but I can see why someone would try and make it.
Is there a need in terms of to confidence issue here, in terms of restoring confidence for a deeper probe into Stuart Nash's time as a minister to restore some confidence, or do you think that's not necessary?
I don't know how it would. We know some things he's done, and we know at least now, and everyone now seems to agree that he should no longer be a minister, and perhaps should not have been one for a little while longer. But I don't think there's a suggestion of there's a suggestion of sort of breach of constitutional propriety for not doing what the cabinet manual says. It doesn't suggest that I haven't heard any suggestion that there have been anything sort of criminal or unlawful that might affect anything else, which is usually why you have sort of inquiries. You need an inquiry to find out what happened if you're not sure, or to find out if there should be other consequences. The consequence for this type of thing is you get kicked out of cabinet and you're told you're never going back into cabinet. That's the sort of consequence you have for this sort of thing. I'm not sure what an inquiry would add. Unless something else comes forward where it's suggested, someone acted illegally in a way of, this person was... could be prosecuted, or not necessarily them, someone could be. Those are the sorts of things we need inquiry. We're either you're looking to do something more, or you're trying to find out what exactly happened, because you might not know.
Yeah, and there's still some more questions for Stuart Nash to answer around this. But what is your sense around him remaining as an MP? Do you think there are questions there in terms of standards? Certainly Christopher Luxon thinks there may be. In terms of ethical standards and perceptions, certainly. Do you think that there needs to be some questions asked for the Labour Party about whether he should be remaining as an MP?
The election is about 6.5 months away, and I think the questions of whether this person should be an MP, the first place it should be asked is of his voters, and the place you get before that is the selection committee. I think it's entirely appropriate for voters to take this into account, whether it's party voters who might see this person's name on a list or electorate voters, and also for the party, is this the type of person? It's not the type of thing I think that people would usually resign from Parliament over, or at least sort of be expected to resign from Parliament over. But again, whether that's, someone might reflect on it and, well, this is the end of my time, I'm going to resign at the election, or this is the end of my time, I'm not going to contest at the election and resign a little bit earlier to get on with my life. Those are sorts of things. Mm. It's not the type of thing that would, sort of as almost a rule, result in someone's immediate resignation. But that's something certainly they can reflect on, of whether this time should end, and how quickly they should, or how long they should remain an MP. That's something for a lot of people involved here to think about.
Just finally, Graham, are you surprised? I mean, Stuart Nash has been around a while. Are you surprised that this has come out?
There had always... I don't know. It's when there were three or four things already, was there going to be another one? If there'd been one lapse and that was the only one we knew, and then we found out a second, okay, it's more than once. When there have been three or four, the fact that there's a fourth or fifth, can't probably come as too much of a surprise to anyone, which I think was one of the criticisms people were making at the time. Surely this can't be it, and, why is this person still in cabinet? I don't think it's a surprise, but it's only really surprising, I don't know, Stuart Nash. Surprise, it's not a surprise because, how many have we heard in the last week? It can't be too much of a surprise. Oh, there was one more.
Graham, really appreciate your analysis this morning. Graham Edgler there, Wellington barrister.